If you wish to follow along, turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Now, as has usually been my practice, I will not read the whole chapter, but I will mention most of it as we go through this chapter. Exodus chapter 33. I hope most of you had the chance to, an opportunity to read the chapter. In light of what is said in Exodus chapter 33, let me give you something about today's so-called professed Christianity. Man-centered, professed Christianity will read such a passage as our text, that is Exodus chapter 33, and they view the Lord God as fickle, mutable, unstable, and able to be manipulated. That's what they see. And I have to confess to you that my flesh, when it reads this chapter, that's what my flesh sees as well. It's almost as if Moses is arguing the Lord into something. But nothing could be further from the truth.
Amen.
Consider the main verse. Now, if I was to ask you, what do you think the main verse is in chapter 33? A part of me is prone to go to the end of the chapter and say God's absolute sovereignty. But that's not the center of this chapter. Let me give you the center of this chapter. Exodus 33 and verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of congregation. Now, folks say that this is not the tabernacle that was erected later that had the white fence around it. It was a different building, and that's really neither here nor there. Here's the thing. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp.
Amen.
That's the central verse of this chapter. Consider this. In chapter 32, which we looked at last week, and in chapter 33, both of these chapters confirm the covenant of God's promise. Moses mentioned it in chapter 32 and verse 13, and then God now mentions it in chapter 33. Look at the first few verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And we know who that's talking about.
Yes, sir.
That's talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I will send an angel before thee. You see that? Now, this is the angel that God had told Moses and the people of Israel, you follow him and you listen to him.
Yes, sir.
This angel is Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey.
Amen.
So first of all, the promise is confirmed, both by Moses in chapter 32, and by God in chapter 33. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says about that. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made.
Amen.
The promise we just read of is included in that. Were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which we see was just been, had just been given to Israel, The law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Somebody was going to enter the land.
Amen.
Somebody's going to enter the land. But it wasn't these people in particular.
Right.
It wasn't these people. Here's the second thing. God exposes our true condition.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 32 and verse 9, he says this is a stiff-necked people.
Yeah.
A stiff-necked people.
Oh, yeah.
God then confirms it. Chapter 33 and verse 3, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And remember, he did.
Yes, sir.
Everyone over 20 years old, their carcasses fail in the wilderness. So again, human religion reads this and they see God bouncing back and forth. God's not bouncing anywhere. God's moving straight ahead according to his sovereign purpose.
Amen.
Romans chapter 3 and verses 9 through 20 tell us our plight in Adam. There's not one of us good.
Amen.
Not one of us is good. No, not one. None of us are righteous. I'm talking about even right now today. In myself,
yes.
In my flesh, dwells no good thing. There's number 3. God then reveals free, reigning sovereign grace in the Messiah. Now, this is important. You may disagree with me on this, but you could be wrong if you wish.
There you go.
The Messiah is promised.
Yes, sir.
That's verse 2. And I will send an angel before thee. Okay? The Messiah is promised, but he's not yet named.
That's right.
And Moses recognizes this and acknowledges this in verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me.
That's right.
Who is this angel?
Yeah.
That's who he's asking about. Mm-hmm. Who is this angel? And blessed be to God, God shows him that angel.
Amen.
He declares that angel's name to him, although we're not given the name in the context. Look at what he says. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 17, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And Moses immediately says, I beseech thee, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And he did.
Amen.
We're not
Amen.
Given the account of it.
No.
But you know what? I believe he told him, my name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
That's right.
I am Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
Moses wrote of me,
Amen.
Christ said. Now look what he says. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me. And what is God's face? The only face God's ever had is Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God is spirit.
Yeah. That's right.
But in the person of his son, he is spirit and flesh. Look,
Amen.
And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with mine hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Jesus Christ revealed himself to Moses at this time.
Yes, sir.
I like that. I like that. His hinder parts. His human form was seen by Moses. Was it not? His human form. Who has hinder parts?
Yeah.
But a man.
Exactly.
But a man. This benefit, that is the presence God promised, the actual promise itself of the land, And the revelation of God as their God is at God's own sovereign choice.
Yes.
And he states that clearly to Moses in chapter 33, verses 17 through 19. And remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect.
Right.
What about all these Jews? They perished in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
They are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
Amen.
But the Israel of God entered in.
Amen.
And God's Israel always enters in. Hebrews says there remaineth a rest for the people of God.
Amen.
You see, not every Israelite was chosen to grace. He or she may have been a member of a chosen race. A created race.
Yes, sir.
But not every Israelite was chosen to grace and mercy and compassion. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ told Moses. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious.
Amen.
I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Amen.
Our human minds rise up in hatred against that. But I'm glad he said, I will have mercy.
Amen.
On whom I will have mercy. It is not left up to the human creature. You see, God's election cannot be merited, but neither can it be demerited.
That's right.
That's right. God's election cannot be merited, but it cannot be demerited.
Amen.
He said, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger.
Amen.
So here's the question. How do we know the difference? Our text helps us on this vital subject. Everyone who sought the Lord did what?
Yeah.
They left the camp and went to the tabernacle of the congregation.
Amen.
Now this is important.
Yes, sir.
Because there's four things I want to give to you. This will be the remainder of my message. The difference is not a mere shame of sins.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of people become ashamed of their sins when they're caught.
Exactly.
When they're exposed. Look at what it says here about these Israelites. Chapter 33, verse 4, 5, and 6. So when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you're a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore put off thine ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. You remember when that woman was caught in the act of adultery? It says caught in the very act. And they brought her unto our Lord and placed her in the midst of these people and said, what does the law say we ought to do? And basically our Lord said this. Now listen, she is to be stoned. But the only person that can do it is a person who is without sin.
Amen.
And it says, they being convicted in their conscience. Just because you're convicted of sin, don't mean you're a part of God's people.
You're right.
People say, well, I know I'm a sinner. Most everybody will tell you that.
Yeah.
But not too many cry out, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner.
Amen.
That's right.
It's not even mere religious intrigue and worship. Look at 8, 9, and 10. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped. But where did they worship?
Yeah.
Did they go to the tabernacle? No. They worshiped where? At their tent door.
That's what it said.
Their tent door. Most people think, as long as you're worshiping God, then everything's okay. As long as you're worshiping God, that means you're one of God's. And that just ain't so.
You're right.
Cain worshiped God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't he?
Cain
worshiped God.
Yeah.
But he didn't worship God according to God's ordained way.
Amen.
The Samaritan woman worshiped. Did she?
Yeah.
She worshiped. And he said, you worship. You don't know what.
Amen.
Just worship itself is not enough.
Exactly.
You remember Lydia, the seller of purple? It says she worshiped God. Does it not? But that didn't do her a lick of good. Because God had to open her heart so that she would attend unto the things that were spoken by Paul.
Amen.
I used to look at that and I thought, well, here was a woman regenerated for years. Just not so. It's just not so. God did the work on that woman when the gospel was there. Now, the gospel didn't do the work. God did the work.
Yes, sir.
So that she would hear the gospel.
Amen.
But think of it. Most people think, well, I go to church. I try to live a decent life. I worship God. I sing the songs. I pray my prayers. I read the Bible. That doesn't cut it. It didn't cut it for Israel. They worshiped, but they worshiped at their tent door rather than approaching God the way God had ordained.
Exactly.
You see, it is approaching God outside the camp. You see, it is approaching God outside the camp. It is seeking the Lord where the Lord has ordained we seek Him.
Yes, sir.
And that is none other than at the feet of Jesus Christ. And isn't it amazing? Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua. Isn't that something? Now, who is Joshua? No, Joshua was a real bona fide man. But Joshua typifies our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. The New Testament reveals to us that this place of worship is a person.
Amen.
Hebrews 13, verses 8 through 13, declares that we have an altar.
Yes.
And it's not down front here.
That's exactly right.
Our altar is a person.
Amen.
Our sacrifice is a person.
Amen.
The offerer is a person.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the only place that you can properly worship God.
Amen.
He that does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. And it's that simple. And yet it's that impossible for us to do apart from God's grace. Because we will worship anything and everything other than Jesus Christ alone. The New Testament's quite clear. You see, there is but one place to seek the Lord. That's my title. The one place to seek the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me. Come unto me.
Amen.
I deserve to be consumed.
Yes, sir.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I deserve to be consumed. I do not deserve God's presence.
Exactly.
These Israelites did not deserve God's presence. They're no worse than I am. They're no worse than you are. We are by nature a stiff-necked people. The one, was it Stephen, wasn't it? Said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you're uncircumcised in heart and ears.
Amen.
I deserve to be consumed. I do not deserve God's presence. I have no merit to the promises.
That's right.
I can't earn them.
No.
Oh, but thank God I can't demerit them away.
Amen.
Somebody's going to enter in.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's going to worship at the right place to the right person.
Yes, sir.
I'll come to Christ.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do. Not I came to Christ yesterday, Joe, but right now is what matters.
Yeah.
I don't care where you claim to have been yesterday. Where are you today? Where are you today? When tomorrow arrives and becomes today, where are you then?
Exactly.
I will seek God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at this passage. I know you're familiar with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry. What ministry is he talking about? The gospel ministry. And that's the only ministry there is. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, I know most people think this is talking about the bars and the brothels. They certainly would be included in that. Don't you misunderstand me. But Satan's major work is behind pulpits.
Yes, sir.
That's where his ministers are, ministers of righteousness. Not of the bars and the brothels. That's just our wicked, evil flesh. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. God does not offer light to any man.
Exactly.
God does not offer light to any woman. God must command the light to shine.
Amen.
He's got to command the light to shine. But when He commands the light to shine, bless God, it will shine.
Amen.
You won't be able to stop it. I won't be able to stop it. The demons in hell and Satan himself will not be able to stop it.
Amen.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, oh, look at it, has shined in our hearts.
Amen.
To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God.
Yeah.
And now we're not just having to see the hinder parts.
That's right. Exactly.
We actually get to look at Him in His face.
Yeah.
And His face is declared right here in this book.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Knowledge doesn't save you, but God don't save you apart from knowledge.
Amen.
That's right.
And that knowledge is of a person.
Amen.
The place we worship is a person.
Yes, sir.
The person we worship
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when do we worship Him? God willing, every moment of every day.
Amen.
Paul, the apostle, if he be the one who wrote Hebrews, says, we go without the camp. And we worship God without the camp.
Yes, sir.
I plead. Because God doesn't beg anybody, but I can. I do. I plead with men and women, flee to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, I believe I have, preacher, but I'm just sometimes not sure. Flee to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just keep fleeing to Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
It's that simple and yet that impossible apart from grace.
Amen.
But if He gives you grace, just flee to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't worry about yesterday. You can't change anything about yesterday.
Exactly.
I can't even change 5 minutes ago.
That's right.
Oh, God, bow me down to the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Mm. We have this treasure where? In earthen vessels.
Amen.
There are occasions when Joe stands here and preach, when I listen to other men preach, I look up there and I say, you know what? That's just a clay pot.
Amen.
You know that?
Exactly right.
You know why He put it in clay pots? so that God gets all of the glory.
Amen.
Because if you know me, you know he's just a clay pot.
Yeah.
At best, Joe, I'm a night jar. You know what a night pot is?
Yeah.
You used to slide it under the bed so you didn't have to go outside in the cold. At best, we're a night pot.
Exactly.
But let me tell you something. In these night pots dwells the very glory of God.
Amen.
Joe mentioned, we're bought with a price.
Yes, sir.
Our body is His, and He lives in us.
Amen.
I can't fathom that.
Right.
So how do I get to Christ? Just trust Him. Just believe Him.
Amen.
He's in you.
Yes, sir.
If you believe Him. He's in you if you believe Him. 1 John chapter 5. And I'll close with this. 1 John chapter 5. How many times? So, you know, I love doctrine. And we ought to love doctrine. And we need to stand fast in the doctrine.
Yes, sir.
But we're not coming to a doctrine.
Exactly.
We're coming to a person.
Amen.
And I don't know how many times, because I have certain doctrines I believe, that I try to convince myself I'm okay because I believe those doctrines. That's the evidence that I'm born of God, that I believe these doctrines. That's just not it. Here's what John said. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
That's the only evidence God's ever going to give us. That's the only evidence God's ever going to give us. Is belief in Jesus Christ. Well, I just know this happened to me way back yonder. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. If you was deceived yesterday, you're probably still deceived today.
Exactly.
But I know this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, that birth must come first.
Yes, sir.
That birth must come first. But nobody can claim the birth until they believe.
Amen.
And I don't have to explain that. Make that all fit, preacher. Ain't going to do it.
No.
As I said before, I'm not a splainer, I'm a proclaimer.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him.
Amen.
God's people love Christ. God's people love one another.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is.
Amen.
If you don't, you ain't born of God.
Exactly.
If you do, you are born of God.
Yeah.
Now, you remember what I said, I think it was last Sunday. Maybe it was last Sunday. But as a preacher, I need some assurance. I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that. But remember, our assurance is seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Our assurance is that He is already there. And He's already there saying the rest of them's coming behind.
Amen.
He is called the anchor of our soul. So when you need assurance, believe Christ.
Amen.
When you need assurance, just believe Christ. And it's that simple. But yet it's that impossible apart from the grace of God. Father, may these stammering words be of benefit to our soul, as we know Your Word will be of benefit to our soul. May the Lord Jesus Christ receive all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing.